E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tho Míle Fáilte Rótain Seo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney, a self-designated lyrical Irish philosopher of the natural kind. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Passed with saying hello to an old man walking along the mid-morning street. Could hear I could he was talking away to himself, and seemed as if he wanted to be left that way to be, and his words were flowing freely. It's a long, long way as I have come, and not very far is the way as I have to go. Better now it is for me to be taking all things real nice and slow. Let my eating be real slow, my walking real slow, my thinking alone I'll keep fast, forever it likes to run like a border collie. Let my chatting with anyone at all be taking as long and as long as I can make it go and real slow, without making myself a bit of a bore. Sleep less at night, can more be thinking and doing with being wide awake. Take long at gazing at the rising and setting sun, moon and stars. Nice day it feels like it's going to be. Must enjoy every moment to well into the future see. I have had enough of the past, where nothing lasts. The present is all I have. And the future, I would just take my time approaching that unknown identity. Wiser, that way would it be for me. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, his unwavering confidence was in nature, and naturally in nature only did he put his trust. This was at the heart of his relationship with nature, nature's relationship with him. The Druidic or Christian ways of thinking, the Druidic deities and the Christian one deity above all deities, held no attraction whatsoever for this gracious philosopher. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from As You Like It, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. Dear Master, I can go no further. Oh, I die for good, here lie I down and measure out my grave. Farewell, kind master. Why, how now, Adam, no greater heart than thee? Live a little, comfort a little, cheer thyself a little. If this uncouth forest yield anything savage, I will either be food for it or bring it for food to thee. Thy conceit is nearer death than thy powers. For my sake be comfortable, hold death a while at the arm's length. I will hear be with thee presently, and I will bring thee something to eat. I will give thee leave to die. But if thou diest before I come, thou art a mocker of my labour. Well said, thou lookest cheerily, and I'll be with thee quickly. Yet thou liest in the bleak air. Come, I will bear thee to some shelter, and thou shalt not die for lack of a dinner, if there live anything in this desert. Cheerily, good Adam. I think he be transformed into a beast, for I can nowhere find him like a man. My lord, he is but even now gone hence. Here was he merry, hearing of a song. If he compact of jars grow musical, we shall have shortly discord in the spheres. Go seek him, tell him I would speak with him. He saves my labour by his own approach. Why, how now, monsieur? What a life is this, that your poor friends must woo your company? What, you look merrily? A fool, I met a fool in the forest, a motley fool, a miserable world. As I do live by food, I met a fool, who laid him down and basked him in the sun, and rallied on Lady Fortune in good terms, in good set terms, and yet a motley fool. Good morrow, fool, quoth I. No, sir, quoth he, call me not fool till heaven hath sent me fortune. And then he drew a dial from his poke, and, looking on it with lackluster eyes, says very wisely, It is 10 o'clock. Thus we may see, quoth he, how the world wags. 'Tis but an hour ago since it was 9, and after 1 hour more 'twill be 11, and so from hour to hour we ripe and ripe, and then from hour to hour we rot and rot, and thereby hangs a tale. When I did hear the motley fool thus moral on the time, my lungs began to grow like a chanticleer, that fools should be so deep contemplative, and I did laugh since intermission, and now by his dial. O noble fool, a worthy fool, motley is the only wear. What fool is this? O worthy fool, one that had been a courtier, and says if ladies be but young and fair, they have the gift to know it. And in his brain, which is as dry as the remainder biscuit after a voyage, he had strange places crammed with observation, the which he vents in mangled forms. O that I were a fool! I am ambitious for a motley coat. Thou shalt have one. It is my only suit, provided that you weed your better judgments of all opinion that grows rank in them that I am wise. I must have liberty withal, as large a charter as the wind, to blow on whom I please, for so fools have, and they that are most galled with my folly, they most must laugh. And why, sir, must they so? The why is plain as way to parish church. He that a fool doth very wisely hit, that very foolishly, although he smart not, seem so senseless as the bob, if not the wise man's folly is anatomized, even by the squandering glances of the fool. Invest me in my motley, give me leave to speak my mind, and I will through and through cleanse the foul body of the infected world, if they will patiently receive my medicine. Fie, Andy, I can tell what thou wouldst do. What for a counter would I do but good? Most mischievous foul sin and chiding sin, for thou thyself hast been a libertine as sensual as the brutish thing in itself, and all that embossed sores and headed evils that thou with license of fret foot hast caught, wouldst thou disgorge into the general world. Why, who cries out on pride, that can therein tax any private party? That it not flow as hugely as the sea, till that the weary very means do ebb? What woman in the city do I name, when that I say the city woman bears the cost of princes on her unworthy shoulders? Who can come in and say that I mean her, when such a one as she such is her neighbour? Or what is he of basest function that says his bravery is not of my cost, thinking I mean him, but certain suits his folly to the metal of my speech? There then, how then, what then? Let me see wherein my tongue had wronged him. If it do him right, then he had wronged himself. If it be free, why then my taxing like a wild goose flies, unclaimed by any man. But who comes here? Tao Dai Jing, Installment 26. Gravity is the root of lightness. Serenity is the ruler of hastiness. Hence the sage practices the Tao all day long, leaving no serene mind and heavy attitude. Though a king have seraglios and harems, he has to avoid approaching them. Regretful are kings nowadays. They are very powerful, having 10,000 chariots and riders, yet their attitude is light before the eyes of the people. Light attitude will cause the loss of their subordinates. Hasty mind will cause the loss of their thrones. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, Humaculate Vera, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? There once lived, among the groves, a woman, who for some reason or another, you see things and hear things and scent things, in the everyday night world that most might never see in their whole life. She was ever so alert, and always seemed to be looking in the right direction just at the right moment when something out of the ordinary would happen. And here are some of the things she happened to see. One summer's evening late, she tells how, she was enjoying watching swallows feed high in the southwest sky, which had in it a crescent moon. As she was watching, didn't she see one swallow alight seemingly on the lower arch of the moon and stay there for several minutes before resuming her feeding? Another time, she saw a red clover mite come onto her hand and was strolling about her fingers and with all of a sudden going to the center of her palm, it transformed itself into a ladybird and remained there in that form for some time before transforming either back again into the red clover mite or into a totally new red clover mite. While observing, a fox, intensely following some scent, with his nose down to the ground and with coming up on an old stone wall directly in front of him, she saw, yes, she saw him walk right through it, while still scenting away, as if it wasn't even there. Continued on scenting he did, away across the field. She observed a thrush find a seemingly ordinary everyday snail with his shell, and as thrushes usually do with such a find, she tried smashing the shell off a stone. But this snail and its shell seemed to have been of a different kind, for every time she would bang it off a stone, the stone would crumble. She even took it up a few times to a great height and dropped it from there onto a rock way below. But still, it wouldn't break. It only left small craters in the rock. With the thrush having left, giving it up as a lost cause, she said, she went over to have a closer look. Soon the snail appeared at the front of her house, and with the greatest of ease pulled it along after her. With watching some ants in a row move things along on their back, she noticed one ant, who put down his load and left from the line to go to do something. A little ways over, there was an old tree trunk lying by the way. Compared to the size of the ant, the trunk was absolutely huge. Compared to the trunk, the ant was ever so tiny. Yet in a moment, didn't the ant put the front of his head up against the trunk and moved it, not alone moved it, but pushed, not rolled it, but pushed it for about 100 yards across a clearing and into a river. The other ants, with discovering a shorter route had been opened up for their transportation, moved on along in a new line, on over where the old trunk had laid. One time, while looking at a smooth rock at the entrance to a cave, she saw several faces appear in it. She was baffled by them, for while they appeared to be human, they were not like any human she had ever seen. And they were talking to each other, for she could hear them, albeit she understood not the language they spoke. And then they faded, and were no longer to be seen. These are just a few samplings of the out-of-the-ordinary things that this woman of the groves happened to experience. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will dwell in the house of yourself. In the presence of yourself day nightly will you be, beholding and gazing upon the beauty that is everywhere, in the people and the world about you. Even unto beyond the ever-appearing stars will you be gazing and beholding. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. and spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have your listening. It is more than a voice in your ear. There is power in listening, more than a phrase in your eye. Insight there is in reading. Enjoy both, and please do spread the word. Thank you so much, Richard. May you be a blessing unto yourself, by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.